chapter 6. I want us to take this to heart now. I'm going to tell you something. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to take place during this year, but I know that God does have a word for it. You know, if you look at St. John chapter 14, verse 1, it said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And that's Jesus talking and telling people that, you know, He knew there were going to be problems. He knew there were going to be ups and downs in life. But He said, "You believe in the Father, believe also in me." And so He's still in charge and in control. He's not present with us on this earth, but He's working from home. Praise the Lord. That's a good thought, isn't it? He's working from home. And so when He said that, and He continued on talking about what He had prepared for us already, not something that may be going to happen or might happen, but it's something that has already happened. He's prepared a place for us that when we leave this walk of life, we're going to go to a better walk of life. And so I think through that promise and the word of God, you know, God's got a word for it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I want to try to take some of the worry out of your life this morning. We're going to talk about encouragement. We're going to be talking about helping each other, you know, as we travel through this road. I appreciate that song, you know, just fight on. It talks about the weary brothers. And I'm like Teresa, I'm not weary yet. You know, I've had days of weariness, but today I feel pretty good, don't y'all? I'm ready to stand up, and if there's a battle to be fought, we'll just fight the thing and win it. You know, there's victory in Jesus always. You know, did y'all know that y'all are a bunch of winners out there? Every one of you, bunch of winners. So let's look at Galatians chapter 6, and let's look to this Word of God, and let's take it to heart this morning. Chapter 6, verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in his spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now, when we start encouraging each other, the first thing we're going to have to do before we can encourage somebody, sometimes we're going to have to forgive them, right? God forgave all of us for all of our sins, everything we'd ever done in life. But yet sometimes we'll have this little thing, and it talks about if a brother be overtaken in a fault. You know, we've all got faults, right? And if we're going to truly forgive and if we're going to truly encourage each other, we're going to have to look over those faults. Ain't nobody out there perfect. I don't see a perfect one of you. Not one. And you're looking up here and you don't see anything perfect up here. We've all got faults. We've all got shortcomings. And this is talking about that we would forgive those faults and that we would restore one, such one in the Spirit of God. So it goes in verse 2. It said, "Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ." Instructions from God. You know, that's a hard thing that we read this and we believe this, but yet it's sometimes hard to do. "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." You know, we've already heard of several burdens in this church, and a lot of people say, "Well, I'd rather not be part of that." If you're a brother and sister in Christ, you're part of it. If you're part of this church, you're part of it. I mean, if there's trouble and there's problem in this church, the Word of God says we'll sorrow with them, we'll pray with them, we'll cry with them. It said when they're joy, we'll rejoice with them. So it goes both ways, and I think we can have some all of it. But it's a hard thing to say somebody, ask God, said, "Let me share part of their burden. Let me help in that situation just a little bit." You know, that's a tough thing to pray and ask, isn't it? "Ask and he shall receive." In verse 3, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall we have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Not dependent on anybody or anything else for our rejoicing in God, that we can rejoice and praise Him because we have the gift of Christ within ourselves. So we start talking about encouragement to each other. All these are good places to put ourselves in a place where we can truly encourage and help somebody else. I wish I could lift everybody here up today. When you walked out here, you'd be walking on the glory road. Out of a religious rut. Out of the things of the world. But I'm talking about just strolling down the glory road, picking the roses along the way. Because God has promised it's going to get better either way. Either way. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is the word of God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so we have a choice on what we're going to reap, right? I'm hoping that we sow the seed of love. I'm hoping we sow the seed in the word of God that we reap a plentiful bounty. It said what we sow, we're going to get back. And so if you're expecting something from somebody, give something to them. God's a little bit different than that. You want to have? Give. I'm not talking money. God blessed us. We got a board full of it back there. I looked the other day and couldn't believe the collection in this place for a few little people. You know, I'm talking about giving what we have, giving love, showing somebody that we can help them, encouraging somebody in what they're going through. You know, we get up in the mornings and we're blessed by God and we don't have a major problem. You ought to look to your neighbor and see if you can help them a little bit. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So what we sow is what we're going to grow. Amen. You know, we're not going to sow one seed and get another one. God has promised you sow good seed, you're going to get a return of good seed. And so as we start into the first Sunday of the new year, I want us to make a determination that we're going to sow nothing but good seed, and we are going to expect a bounty and a harvest. It said in verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, this is where we start talking about encouraging each other about not fainting. What does it say? We are going to reap if we faint not. Now, I'm looking for a harvest. I'm looking for a bountiful harvest. And I'm talking about unsaved souls. I'm talking about your family members and my family members that need to get things right with God. That we're going to sow this word of God and we're going to expect a crop to come from it. If you faint not. If you faint not. Now, that's our choice whether we faint or not. There's a lot of people fainting and falling by the wayside. You know, we read about the falling away. But I want to tell you, I believe we're in the period of the falling away, but you don't have to participate. I don't have to participate. I read about it. I know it's in the fact. It's in the works. But I just tell God, well, I think I'll just exempt myself and not participate in the falling away. I'm going to be the one faithful when you come back. I'm going to be the one glad to see you when you break the eastern sky. I'm going to rejoice in the fact that we'll be going to forever be with you. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Now it said do good to everybody, but especially to those who are the household of faith. So that brings us to the point of thinking about brothers and sisters in Christ and part of this church. We need to do better to them than we do anybody else. We need to show them a little extra effort. You know, we think a lot of times, well, they're in church, they're saved by the grace of God, they don't need any help. I'm going to tell you, I don't see anybody here. If you don't need help today, you might need it tomorrow. And we think about, and sometimes we try to exempt people in the church. Well, they're saved. They're good old boys. They're good old girls. They're faithful to the church. Church members have trouble just like everybody else. Amen. We've all went through something this last year, pretty much. And there's no telling what we're going to go through this year. But I'm going to be like the song said, just fight on. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Just fight on. God's got a plan for us. He's got it all in His control. You know, we're not going to have to panic. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We've got God on the throne and Jesus at the right hand. And so, you know, we've got the power on our side. Especially unto the household of faith. You know, that'd take most of the bickering out of the church, wouldn't it? Nearly every bit of it. If we restored one another to the Spirit, you know, like God tells us to do. If you're overtaken in a fault, amen, we're going to restore you. If you hadn't been restored yet, I hope it didn't happen today. We're going to restore you in the Spirit. bring you back to where God wants you to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As y'all are turning there, I'll tell you in chapter 3, it talks about that which was done was glorious, and much more which remaineth is glorious. It's talking about the time we're in. It talks about that was done away with. That was the law, and they say it was glorious. But now we're in the age of grace, and that's even more glorious. So we're under the glory of God and the grace. And so it says, seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. I think about this scripture a lot. You know, it goes farther to talk about Moses and how he had the veil on his face and how the children of Israel were blinded. They couldn't see, they couldn't hear. You know, we're in an age of blindness now. It's not from God. God didn't blind them. God put it out there for everybody to see. But we're in an age of blindness now that people do not want to understand and realize that there's a God in control of this world, a God that's going to be in control of all things, and a God of eternity. I'm telling you, we're serving a God that is, a God that can, and a God that will. And so as we go under these things and we think about the glories of what was that passed, he said, now it's more glorious. And seeing we have this such hope, we use great plainness of speech. That's in chapter 3. I believe it's verse 11 and 12. And I want to be plain with you this morning. I want to be just plain as I can. I got no veil over my face. God's not deafening or hardening your ears that you can't hear. This is to everybody that'll open their heart and hear it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Y'all got it? We faint not. Seeing therefore we have this ministry. Would y'all agree that God has blessed us with a ministry at New Salem Baptist Church? And I'm not the only one involved, but yet all the members are involved in this ministry. And that ministry is to encourage each other, encourage the world, to sow the seed of God, to preach Jesus Christ, regardless of everything else, to stand. You know, I've thought about this a lot. I believe this church was founded on the Word of God. I believe that. Some of the folks that helped start it, I didn't meet, didn't know, but I know what they stood for, and it was the Word of God. And that's where we need to stand. Seeing, therefore, we have this ministry. That ministry is to show people the need for Jesus Christ in their life. In verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now here we go. We need to encourage each other to be a witness for Jesus. There needs to be a time of encouragement, one for another. You know, you encourage your brother, you encourage your sister, whatever, and say you need to be witness into that family that's lost. Next time you sit at the dinner table and look across, tell them they need Jesus. Amen? I told a man that one time. About his son, I said, next time you sit across the table from Steve, just look him straight in the eye and tell him he needs Jesus. And Billy said, I don't know if I can do it. So I went down for breakfast and I told him. Billy said, well, you might run him off. I said, he's already going to hell. Where am I going to run him? How much worse could it get? How bad could it be? Amen. I don't know if he ever got it right or not, but he knows that he needs to. Amen. And this was a daddy concerned about his son. But you need to have enough concern and about our children that we witness and tell them about the need for Jesus Christ in their life. In verse 4 it said, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so whose fault is it that they don't know they're blinded by the gods of this world? Amen. We've got a great competition taking place, and it's between the Word of God and the world. I mean, the world's an attractive place. People look around, the lights are bright, and everything going well in their mind. But it talks about that is what is hurting us and hindering us from seeing more people saved because they're blinded by the things of the world. Amen. It's telling us, in verse 5, it said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Now, the Word of God talking about a servant. You know, very few people want to take on the role of a servant. I learned early in my ministry, early in my years of pastoring, that if I was anything but a servant, I was wrong. You know, I'm here to serve you. Now you want to turn it around? You're here to serve me. We're here to serve God in all things. "For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." I'm glad He shined on me one day. Aren't y'all? Aren't you glad that light shined in your heart one day that you received Jesus Christ unto the glory of God? In verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Now, "that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." We have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's talking about the flesh. It's talking about the body. That's why we have problems. If we were spiritual with no flesh, spiritual don't have cancer. Spiritual don't have heart problems. Spiritual don't have lung problems. That's flesh stuff. That's stuff of the flesh. But it gives us a reason. It said that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. May be of God, not of us. It's not about us and what we can do in our power. It's about the power of God. I'm telling you, when the people come and ask me to pray for them, I don't pray, Lord, I can help them, or God, let me heal them. I pray in the name of God. I pray in the name of Jesus that He help in each situation. Verse 8. "We're troubled on every side." Notice this. "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed." I like that, when we can be troubled but not distressed. You know why we're not distressed? God took the worry out of it. You know, it's going to be what it's going to be. God's got control of it. And He took the stress out of it. And we're not distressed over it. Yeah, we got problems. There's problems with a lot of people here today. But we see it. We know it said, yet not distressed. It said, "We are perplexed, but not in despair." Perplexed, you know, not understanding all of it. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." I want to give you this word. If you're a child of God, you're not just going to make it. You've already made it. Amen. Now, so knowing that you've already made it, the troubles, the bumps in the road between here and there, that's just, oh, by the way. We're all going to have those. But the day comes when those will be passed too. That'll be over. Amen. Girls, y'all come get ready to sing. They're going to come bring a song. We're going to dismiss this service. First service of the new year. Amen. I'm glad to be here. Glad everybody, I hope y'all are glad to be here. And I'm going to tell you, we want to encourage, and encourage, and then encourage some more. That's where we're in need of in this day and time. Young people need encouraged. Old people need encouraged. Middle age need encouraged. Everybody else needs encouraged, whatever you might be. That God blessed us with an opportunity to encourage somebody. Let me get my stuff out of your way. Everybody stand with us. I might just stand up here and rejoice with him while he's singing. How would that be? Anybody else want to join us? I don't think you'd bother me. You'd stand up here with us and rejoice if you want to. Let the world know and let God know I'm rejoicing. Amen. Go ahead anytime. Joan's got something she wants to say.